praise God. I believe that that's God's message to us. The message of Jesus Christ to us is to never let go of him. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, it's such a cliche nowadays for everything that you go through. It's so easy and simple for someone to say, let it go, let it go, let it go. But you don't know the depth of some situations. And if you read the Bible, you will see in writing that there were things that God Almighty himself did not let go of. Things written in the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that specifically tells us about how people treat people, what to look out for, how we have adversaries and enemies, how the devil is full of deception and he has to use somebody, and how Jesus was crucified on the cross. Every detail of his crucifixion, every detail of how he was betrayed, every detail of how the church came up against him, every detail is in the Bible. And even though it was written, and it is written, God still loves us. So there are things in our lives that happen that we forgive, but we don't have the ability like God has. We don't have the ability to forget. The Bible says that when we confess our sins, God throws them in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. But I've learned that there's more to just asking God to forgive me, that there's other scriptures that line up with that, that he tells me first I need to go make it right with my brother or my sister by any means necessary. Hold on to that. Don't let go of that thought. Don't let go of how God gives us wisdom on that, because repentance is not just confessing our sins to God. It surrounds a whole lot of things for us to make it right with our brothers and our sisters, for us to be examples to the sinners, to live in the love of Christ by making it right, to do what the Bible says do according to how the Lord tells us how to treat one another. Where there is unity in the body, you can't maintain unity in the body when so much discord is going on. It's not okay to gossip. It's not okay to talebear and backbite. It's not okay for me to mistreat you or anybody else, because God is my daddy too. He sits high and he looks low. And he gives steps in his scriptures, in the Bible, on what we're supposed to do to line up with his word, especially that word, repentance. So we give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. I am so excited about tonight and having my daughter on. She's going solo. Last week we had part one of The Life That I Now Live, and she's going to do part two. And God told me to open this door where she can listen and re-listen and re-listen to this broadcast, and her life will be changed even listening to herself under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. But first, I want to open the broadcast with prayer from Apostle Prophetess Adrienne Jackson. It's all yours, Adrienne.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your holy throne, clothing ourselves with humilities, giving you thanks for everything in heaven and everything in earth. Now, gracious Heavenly Father, as your holy word goes forth right now by your precious daughter, Sharnay, Father God, I ask that you use her mightily for your glory, Father God. Let souls be saved, let salvation, healing, and deliverance take place immediately. In the precious name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast, Abba Father. We plead the blood of Jesus over Evangelist Linda and her entire family, and each listener and their entire family. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare your word. No weapon formed against your children shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against them in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Abba Father, for the angels of the Lord that are protecting your children right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for the precious blood of Jesus that's protecting your holy word, your children, Abba Father, and this radio broadcast right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Abba Father, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Abba Father, for the joy of the Lord that is your children's strength. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank you, Abba Father, that your word will be successful today, Father God, now and forever in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Abba Father, for growth in Sharnay right now in the name of Jesus, that as she releases and speaks your holy word, Father God, that she herself, Father God, will receive of you, Father God, your anointing, your healing, your deliverance in every area, Father God, and her entire family, Father God, and your children in the precious name of Jesus. And Father God, we are so careful right now, Father God, to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen and amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Apostle Adrian. Hallelujah. I just wanted Apostle Adrian to just grace this broadcast with the anointing that's on her life and pray for my daughter as well at the opening of this broadcast. So thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you.
I also have a I want to give a shout out first to all the global listeners from around the world. I am honored, and I count it a privilege that God has kept his word to me. He said many years ago that he was going to take this ministry globally. I didn't know what he meant by that. Certainly, I don't have the ways or the means to do it, and I didn't know how he was going to do it. I never thought about it. But this broadcast is streamed in through 50-some nations, maybe more than that now. And Blog Talk has a way of showing us what nations are listening in, and more than likely they stream in at times on demand, and it shows up on the stats. And I'm just blessed. And I was honored when I found out all these nations that the Holy Spirit has drawn somebody, one person, 10 people, 50, 100, from different nations to just stream in. So I want to give a shout-out to China, Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, Peru. We plead the blood of Jesus over you and the nations that you live in. God knows the ones that are joining us and tuning in. Australia, the Netherlands, Togo, France, Bangladesh, Germany, Ireland, Norway, Tobago, Trinidad, Ghana, Israel, London, South Korea, the UK, Canada, Republic of Serbia, Sweden, Vietnam, Egypt, Thailand, Dubai, Tanzania, South Africa. We thank God for you. London, Philippines, Kenya, Pakistan, Belgium, we plead the precious blood of Jesus over you that's tuning in, and we ask God to infiltrate your nation and draw those around you to Christ and use you for his glory. We plead the blood of Jesus over Belgium and Malaysia. We thank God for you. Nigeria, Russia, New Zealand, Philippines, India, Greece, Croatia, Somalia, Namibia, Argentina, Jamaica, Ivory Coast, Nicaragua, Barbados, Japan, Venezuela, Turkey, and Slovakia. And, of course, our great nation, because God's hand is on this nation, and the nations that I named, the great nation of the United States of America, because this nation was founded on biblical principles. So we give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory tonight. And I'm excited that my daughter is on, and she's going to minister to you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But I have a friend that wants to minister to her right now, Prophet Irving Benjamin Jr. Your mic is open. It's all yours, Prophet.
Thank you so much. We give God the praise, and we thank God, amen, for this opportunity. Amen. Glory be to God for just to be able to come on to be part of what God is doing through our evangelist, our missionary, Linda Cazares. And so we thank God for you. We thank God for what you're doing and how God is moving in this ministry. But I wanted to encourage your daughter. Amen. I had just basically got in. But nonetheless, God time is always on time. And so I wanted to encourage the woman of God, amen. I heard the Lord say to tell you, amen, glory to God, that you are his princess. He told me to tell you that. And also, he says that there are books, amen, that are inside of you because of the different experiences that you've had in your life. And God says you're going to reach a lot of young women. You're going to reach a lot of young women. And I even see something concerning you doing a conference. I don't know if you ever thought about doing a conference, but you're going to do a conference that is going to target a lot of young ladies, young women, and it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be a blessing. Amen. Glory be to God. And I hear the Lord saying, he says, do not be ashamed of what you've gone through, because you've gone through that for a reason, because there's other women who have dealt with that, and they're dealing with that, and God is going to use you in a peculiar way. So God wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to hold fast. He wants you not to give up. Don't give in, and don't give out. God says there's purpose for your life. Glory be to God. And God said, count it not strange that you are the only one that that is ministering on tonight. It was a set up for the set off, because you're going to trigger something in the heavenlies. You're going to trigger something in the earth realm. And there's some things and some doors and some opportunities that's going to open up for you, saith the Lord. He said, be encouraged, my daughter. But once again, I keep seeing the word, and I keep hearing the word, princess. Glory be to God. God loves you. Glory to God. He loves you. He's concerned about you. Glory be to God. And as I said, glory to God, don't count it not strange, once again, the reason why you're the only speaker of this particular segment, glory to God, because there's some more doors that's going to open some opportunities where you're going to be on other radio shows to be able to share your story, and it's going to be a blessing to many, as well as many are going to want to interview you even because of a particular book. But there are books that you have to write, but a particular book that you're going to write that's going to be a blessing to many, saith the Lord. God wants you to be encouraged, woman of God. As you go forth tonight, he says, go forth in power, go forth in might, and go forth in the authority that he has given you, saith the Lord. Be blessed.
God bless you. Shawnee, your mic is open if you would like to say anything regarding what Prophet Benjamin just said.
excuse me. I just want to say thank you. God knows what you need when you need it. And I really needed that encouragement, and I appreciate that, and I receive that in the spirit and in my flesh, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Prophet Benjamin. God bless you, sir. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
So right now I'd like to introduce my daughter of 47 years, or is it 48?
48.
Okay, 48 years. I have two grandsons that light up my life, Xavier, my oldest grandson, and River, my youngest grandson, and I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory for the generations of came through the loins of my Jewish grandmother. We called her Bubba, which is Jewish for grandmother. And then my mother came, and then I came, and then Shawnee came, and then her sons came. So we give God all the glory, honor, and praise. I led my grandmother to Christ. My mother was led to the Lord through my example, but somebody came to her at some point in her life and led her to Christ. I give God praise for that. That's an answer to prayer to anyone that's listening, that's waiting on family and immediate family, that is, to be saved. And I just thank God for Shawnee and the anointing on her life. I just like Prophet Benjamin just said, he was on the broadcast last week, and my daughter was a speaker after him, and something, there was technical difficulty, and she wasn't able to speak. So he ended the broadcast under the powerful anointing of the Holy Ghost with two other speakers, but he ended up being the last speaker. So you can go on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry to The Life That I Now Live, Part 1, which was last Thursday. So God told me to give this platform to my daughter tonight, Minister Shawnee Kazris Banks, for Part 2. He didn't want it to go to waste, what he has placed in her spirit, in her belly, to minister to the listeners tonight and the world on demand. So, Shawnee, your mic is open. God bless you. It's all yours.
Thank you. I just want to say I'm getting over a cold, so allow me to take my time because I want you to understand and my voice, you know, to get my voice, and I want to say things with clarity, so I'm going to take my time with it. I thank God for this opportunity, and I just want him to get all the glory out of this time that he takes, and I just want the Holy Spirit to speak, and I just ask that you guys out there be prayerful with me as I'm giving this message. In preparation, you know, I went to God and I wanted God, you know, to really allow me to be vulnerable. This is a vulnerable moment for me. So I did not write anything down. I do not have anything pre-memorized. I'm giving you the life that I live now. This is a fresh, this is a now message. And I have to, you know, tell you that and reading the word and understanding and finding the mirror of the life that I live now, one of my favorite passages is the Exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt to get to the promised land through the wilderness. The children of Israel going through the wilderness into the promised land is a fulfillment of a covenant that God made with Abraham. It was a promise, and God always makes good on his promises. It was a promise of deliverance. The children of Israel were God's chosen people. God chose them and said, I will make them my people, and I will be their God. So God took these people out of slavery, delivered them. I'm talking to the person that's going through a wilderness. And God meant to pull them through this journey and them to take this journey, not for decades, but for days. When God prepared the way to free the Israelites from the Egyptians, he gave them an intercessor. That was Moses. And he showed himself. He showed up visually and did miracles and showed his mightiness and his presence and showed himself powerful to do what he said that he was going to do. But yet, the journey to the promised land wasn't days, but decades. They spent 40 years. Who's still in the wilderness? Who's still trying to get to their promise? Who's comfortable in the wilderness tonight? I'm going to start at Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm just going to start there because this is the ultimate end of the day that happened because of the behavior of the children of Israel. Anybody find themselves behaving like the children of Israel? Knowing and having the presence of a God, like, show up for you, feed you, part the Red Sea for you. I'm sure before they were freed from the Egyptians, they never saw a Red Sea part. God will deliver you, and deliverance, their deliverance took place right then. When God said he was going to deliver them, the Red Sea parted, and they went across it, and their deliverance was happening right then. But deliverance is a process. Their process was the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 1 says, these are the sermons Moses preached to all of Israel when they were east of the Jordan River in Araba wilderness, opposite Sufa and the vicinity of Paran, Tophel, Laban, Harazan, Diazad. It takes 11 days from Horeb to Kadesh, following the mountain Sarah. The root. It was on the first day of the 11th month in the 40th year when Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything God commanded him concerning them. This came after he had defeated the king Sihon of the Amorites, who had ruled from Heshbon, Og King Bashan, who ruled Arosheth and Edrei. It was east of the Jordan and in the land of Moab that let Moses set out to explain this revelation. And next, Moses is preaching to the children of Israel, you know, what God spoke to them, saying, you have stayed in this mountain long enough. On your way now, get moving. Head for the Amorite hills, wherever people are living in Arabath, the mountains, the foothills of Negev, the seashore, the Canaanite country, and Lebanon, all the way to the big river Euphrates. Look, I've given you this land. Get moving. Get up. Sometimes we get stuck in a wilderness, and we're really there in that wilderness because God is showing us things. He's showing us stuff, and we're still not using the faith that we need to use to get up out of there. And as a matter of fact, we exemplify behavior before a high God that has showed up and showed out for us so many times that it's a rebellious nature that causes us to question the power of God and say, why isn't God moving fast enough for me? Why am I? Because the children of Israel murmured and complained along the way while God was opening doors and making the provision. The, God promises deliverance, and in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites who were enslaved by the Egyptians, and I have remembered my covenant. And God said, therefore, I tell you the Israelites, because I am the Lord, I will bring you from under the yoke of the Egyptians. See, he promised them he would bring them out of bondage, and he got them out of bondage. He freed them from the Egyptians. But what happened when they got into the wilderness? He told them, I will redeem you with an outreached arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And didn't he do it? Won't he do it? Pharaoh's army was destroyed when they tried to chase after that, the children of Israel. They tried to go into that Red Sea, and it seemed to close up after everybody that was meant to make it out made it out. But when they had to go into that wilderness and experience, had the wilderness experience, it was a faith-building experience, because why didn't they believe that the same God who parted the Red Sea wouldn't feed them? In some of my study, I read that only 18 miles out into their journey did they start complaining. God ever open up a window for you and you get out, you make it out, where you get to, it's just not comfortable enough. So you start complaining about this, that, and everything else, but Lord Jesus, didn't he deliver you from that situation? We just got uncomfortable and just got a little bit ungrateful for a moment, didn't we? Didn't they? They questioned God's power. They murmured and complained. What was their relationship with the God that was making these provisions and doing these powerful acts? What was their relation with him? What was their relationship with them? When you're in the wilderness, it's about building a relation with the God that's making the provision for your deliverance. And remember, deliverance is a process. Because while you're being delivered, you're going to be tested. The devil is set up to test your deliverance. See, right now, if I sat in shame and if I worried about where I came from or what I did, that would stifle, you know, what the Lord God has to say to you tonight through me. And like the children of Israel, don't get caught up in the wilderness. You know the promise that you have in store for you. Will you make it to walk into your promise? The promise is the new life. Is the new life, because we are crucified to sin. We take on Christ's crucifixion with that. Crucifixion, does that sound pleasant? To be crucified in your flesh is not a comfortable situation. To take on his crucifixion and his death, it's not a comfortable thing all the time for the Christian. So I'm not going to sit up here and sugarcoat. I can tell you how it's supposed to be, because, yes, a Christian is supposed to have an abundant life if you stick to the path, if you keep your mind on the promise. See, if your mind gets off track, if you get off the path, because, see, they had the map. See, this journey was not supposed to take decades. Thank you. Bear with me. It's getting good. See, I'm just going to tell you about a situation where they showed off and they got impatient, where Moses was interceding for them. See, this is what got to God. The children of Israel would murmur and complain amongst themselves, and the word called it groans, because the Lord heard them. They would murmur and complain to themselves and around Moses and to Moses and Aaron. people, why didn't they, what was their relationship with God, the one who was making the provision? They were always murmuring and complaining, and this is how the Lord heard them and was moved to make the provision. We should be a people that prayer moves God to make the provision. Rejoicing moves God to make the provision, because murmuring and complaining is not the way you get God to make a provision. Exodus 32, the golden calf. When the people saw that Moses was too long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come make us gods who will go before us. And for, because as for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. They were impatient for how long, you know, God and Moses were, you know, talking about them. So for this reason, you know, they go to Aaron, and right away Aaron says, okay. He just says, take off the earrings of your wives and your sons and your daughters. I mean, come on, it's just, this whole action just went into play while all this provision from this great God, and he was showing himself, he had proved himself. You know, how dare you? This was indifferent. Like God couldn't see them. How dare God pull you out of something, deliver you, and you get in the process, get weak, and sit there, fall back on it. Sometimes we hold up our own deliverance process because we think it's okay at where we at. God ain't through with me yet. That's going to make your wilderness, your few-day journey, weeks, maybe months, into decades, where the wilderness has sucked up your life and you just know what your promise is. But you never get to walk into it. Moses got to see it. Only Joshua and Caleb went in. But I didn't go, I don't want to fall back. I want to stay where I'm at, so stay with me. I'm going to skip to verse 5 of chapter 32 of Exodus and go to, then the Lord, wait a minute. Verse 5 of chapter. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings afterwards. And they sat down to eat, drink, and got up to indulge in revelry. Was this not a God that was making a provision for them, that freed them from the slavery of the Egyptians, where they were working hard? But one thing about their freedom, also now they had the freedom of choice. They had freedoms in different areas than just to go and come. They had freedom to worship and pray. They had freedom to act on their faith and the faith in the God that was making the provision, but instead. And what is revelry? Revelry is a carnival, partying, drinking, and other things, you know, indulgent, but heavy. So this was not only, you know, this was an outright disrespect, you know, to God, the God that was making the provision, the God who loved them, that fell in love with them, that from the door was going to fulfill a promise, you know, in a covenant that he had with Abraham no matter what. But he put them in this process because God is a God that wants to be worshipped and chosen. He puts in us what we need to activate our faith and move in the faith that we have in the Lord because we love him and he loved us. You know, he draws us and he wants us to choose him to come to him. There's other choices out there we can make. We have that freedom of choice in us to believe that what he said and he's going to do is going to be. But sometimes when we get in our wilderness, we doubt, can we do it? Can he do it? Yeah, you know the promise there, but can I do it? Or we get so, we not uncomfortable. uncomfortable with what we got to do the work in the process of getting delivered. You got to know that you know that you know that he's going to supply the need and not getting to murmur and complain as to why it ain't easy. It's not easy saying no. And God didn't say that it would be. But you can't take on deliverance with a mentality of the children of Israel. You know, the children of Israel wandering around in the desert for 40 years, making what should only have been an 11-day journey much longer. And it wasn't because of their enemies or their circumstances. You know, it was because of their mind. See, Colossians, somewhere in Colossians, it tells us you have to set your mind. It tells us to set our mind and keep it set. A lot of the way we live now, you know, will dictate, you know, what your relationship is with God. We have to have a relationship with God where our prayers are going to move him because our murmuring and complaining is not. You can't. You have to have a relationship with God so, you know, romantic. Like God with us is a love story. It was with the children of Israel. And, of course, he had the greater love. It's his love that draws us into him. It was their mindset that kept them in the wilderness so long. If you we really look at the children of Israel, you can't really be, you would be astonished because you wonder how people that were seeing these things right in front of their faces could were going through this and not making any progress. You ever get delivered enough, but you're not making any progress. And God has showed up like he did every time he did for the children of Israel in the wilderness. But you got the wrong mindset. Mindsets will hurt you and they will hinder your progress. The God teaches us, it's Colossians 3:2. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is present and I thank you, Lord. You know, when times and circumstances where you got to be patient, sometimes you just got to wait on the Lord, even in the desert. Because, you know, I'm going to read a scripture real quick that in the experience of the children of Israel that God just brought to me. You got to stay in the Lord. You got to stay with God. You can't separate from him in your flesh because you're not. Because you're uncomfortable waiting on him, because he's not making the provision as quick as you need him to do. That will keep you in your wilderness. Exodus 16, I'm just going to start, just read the first verse. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin. Wait, Elim, translated, means mighty one. They left, they set out from the mighty one and came to the desert of Sin. They left God. They were leaving and came. See, oh, y'all got to hear what I'm saying. Stay with me now. I'm talking to the person that needs to walk into their promise because you have the opportunity to experience your promise and not just know it's there, but actually touch it, feel it. And if God gives you the experience of some of your promise, don't get intimidated by what looks big over there. By the war, because you got to fight in this thing, even when you get in your promise. You got to fight to keep it. But thank God the word says the race is not given to the swift because it's not going to be how fast. It's going to be you persevering. Now, Lord, I thank you. This is getting kind of good, but I need to go where I am in my life. and the life that I live today. This is powerful how the Lord and the children of Israel, and it just shows me, like, and, you know, sometimes people, even as Christians, we get impatient. And, you know, we God has already showed up and made good on his promise. Already showed up and made good on his promise. So when you get into the fullness of your deliverance, because a Christian's life should be abundant. It should be filled. But I tell you, everybody who crossed your path in the parking lot of the church that says, and you say, how you doing? They said, blessed, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. God is good, and speak in tongues. They going through a wilderness too. Don't let it fool you. We just got to get real and not get comfortable and get up and stick to the plan and set your mind and keep it set. To get out of that wilderness. The wilderness is the process. The wilderness is the process. You know, the wilderness, in the wilderness, they complained about everything and anything. They complained about, the people complained and they wanted to kill Moses. And Numbers 14:10, he tried to select another leader. They complained about how difficult it looked to conquer the giants, Numbers 14:1-10. So they refused to enter the promised land. These are things that kept them from entering the promise. But did not the God part the Red Sea? Would he not keep the giants from defeating you? This is where their faith led, where God showed up. Like, why are you still in the wilderness? It's you keeping you from your promise. You know, the children of Israel, they fell down here and there, but along the way and in the end, something changed in their mind and in their hearts. Like, in the end, the light bulb came on and they began to understand what was driving their murmuring and complaining for all these years. They began to understand why God had to deal with him, because he was actually dealing with their free will. And we see in the word the choices that they made while they were in the wilderness. The wilderness, the journey, it's a part of, you know, come on, let's keep it real. Somebody go there with me. It's a part of life. It's a part of your life right now. And it's about coming to a place where you identify really what your spiritual condition is, because that's what's most important. That will show you what. See, God has to use things to show you where you at, because you don't know. Because you don't know your heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even give man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. What is fruitful about your doings right now? You want to get out, but you're stuck in. Come on out. You know, I know that I have something to do. Everybody has a calling and a purpose for their life, and it's soul winning first. And you can't win a soul stuck in a wilderness and a behavior that people aren't drawn to see you different from them. God can call you and have you for a season among them, but it's to show them and pull them another way and draw them out. Even if you plant a seed, you know, even if you tell them that, you know, Jesus is the way and show them something, and you shows them. Because when because deliverance is not comfortable, it's hard to smile. So if we pull on that joy, because when we accept Jesus, he has already put in us what we need to pull on. Faith, peace, joy. Those things just don't go away because you fall. Those things are there because when you fall, you pull on them to get back up. Let's don't get stuck in certain behaviors and get comfortable with acting like the children of Israel. Because I know I got something to do. You know, I really admire Paul. I really admire Paul. And he, Paul was a chastiser of Christians, a murderer, a torturer of Christians. And God called him out and into a ministry and gave him such knowledge and revelation that there came a cost and a price that, you know, came with his ministry. For that reason, you know, Paul went through some stuff. And he never gave up, but he went through some stuff because God allowed him a thorn in his side. It was something that he could have prayed about, you know, whined about, cried about, you know, just worshiped. And God allowed that thorn in his side because to keep him, you know, in a place where I'm just going to go there and read it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Bear with me because I'm going to get this out. First, 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation." Sometimes we have the knowledge and the tools to get through the wilderness, to get out. God has given you and is giving you and will give you knowledge in you. Sometimes I say I have so much knowledge, it's too much for my own good. It's too much for my own good, and I got to stay humbling or else it don't even work for me. I can't think just because I know this and I know this scripture and I know that and I know this chapter and verse and get in a place where get in my children of Israel bag and it not work for me. It not work for you. See, I'm not the only woman. Somebody out there knows this word, knows how to get to the promise. Knows was not pulling on. See, every step you take to the Lord, he'll make two more towards you. You got to do something. You got to get out. You got to do some work for him. And more and more and more, and God will begin to change your heart and give you more of the desire to get out of that wilderness and walk towards him. And your mind will be set, and you'll start getting through that thing faster. And your months will come down to days. And see, do you know where I'm going with this? But sometimes, you know, God will allow you a thorn that'll come to just to remind you and keep you in a place that you keep your mind set. Because Paul said, "Lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me through a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord." He went to the Lord because of the messenger of Satan that was set. He went and he prayed to the Lord, and he asked the Lord that it might depart from me, and said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." So he allowed that thorn because God was going to show him that his grace was sufficient, even perfect in his weakness. And the question, however, is, was Paul talking about? What was Paul talking about? Like, what was actually the thorn? And it was people. It was people coming against his ministry that wanted to kill him, that wanted to block him, that wanted to lie on him, that wanted to stop him, that wanted to stop it. I know I have a thorn. I've always said it. I've said it, and my thorn is people. I get in a place, but the people's words, people will tell you that you can't do it. People will tell you that you never do it. People call your name and tell you that you're this and that you're that. Don't let that get to you and stop, because it can. There's always messengers. I have a thorn, Lord Jesus. I thank you that with that, I can still get in a place, you know, to do what I know God's called me to do, and that's bring a message, change a life, and win a soul. Thank you. Stay with me. one more scripture to read. God is good. He's really good. And you know what? With the thorn that Paul had, he said, I can't find what the scripture that. Let me see. No. But if there's a scripture where Paul says what he does because that, he doesn't just train like an athlete. He buffets it. He strikes himself. He has to remind himself, like, to keep his body in check. So whatever you have to do to keep you focused, do it. Smack yourself upside the head. Punch yourself in the chest. Pinch yourself. Whatever you have to do as a reminder to keep yourself focused, because ministry, I mean, the fullness and the abundant life of a Christian, if there's a cost. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be trial. Your deliverance is going to be tested. And to walk in the fullness thereof is ultimately what is meant, that the promise. Come on out of the wilderness. Come on out of the wilderness. See, before, when I prepare to speak, and I'm always honored, but I always ask God, you know, should I really be speaking on this platform? I question myself and questioning the Lord, because the Lord always says, you're not going to speak. Praise Jesus. I thank God for this moment and allowing him, you know, to reveal himself to me. And, you know, God is good. And I really take his word seriously. And I believe Romans 6 with all my heart, that we should be dead to sin and alive in Christ. Though we're struggling in situations and we get caught, we shouldn't give up and we shouldn't lose sight of, you know, the provision that God has made. And we should stay focused on the word and the covenant and the promises that he has made to us because we have accepted him and taken on his crucifixion and his death so that we can have a new life. See, a new life is the promise. It's the promised land. The new life. The process is the crucifixion, being crucified. That's the process. Romans 6 says, what shall ye say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? See, sometimes, oh, how many years, how many days, how many months, how many weeks, how many years are we going to say, this grace is sufficient? I'm waiting from A to B, and I'm not going to say where A is until where B is, but you made it from A to B through the grace of God, Lord Jesus. How many years are we testing the Lord's grace and his mercy? Because it is sufficient. And if you still breathing and standing where you at and you're part of the wilderness, you've got to be a witness. You're getting the opportunity to tell somebody that you can make it out. If you're still there and I'm speaking to you right now, you know how to get there. God tells me you know how to get there. By no means. We are those who have died to sin. Died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? If your relationship is really right, the life I live now, I strive to live, to have a relationship with God that I'm uncomfortable in sin. If you are, your relationship with God ain't right. And not just because God in his words is God chasing, so he will put you acting like, you know, he can't see you. It's indifferent. It's rude. How dare you? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through the baptism in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. There it is. I thank you for this opportunity, Mom, you know, to have this hour, because God really spoke to me. And I took my time because I needed also to listen. And I just thank the Lord, you know, for him making the provision and bringing to pass his promise in my life. And I just pray that anyone out there in the wilderness, it's time to come out. It's time to turn your decades into days, because you don't know, you know it, you know your promise, but walk into it while you have the opportunity. God is good. And you can walk into that thing today. It doesn't take long to identify. Get back on the path. Get your mindset. Get out of your children in Israel bag. Buffet yourself if you've got a thorn. Somebody's always going to come in your way to distract you, to remind you where you at, who you are, where you came from. Don't let it stop you. It's going to be a block. There's going to be an obstacle. But God is there. He parted the Red Sea. Will he not part one for you? Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to bringing and reading and identifying his word. There you go, Mom. I'm done.
You've just begun, my dear. God bless you. The life that I now live. That was a powerful word. I thank God for the opening prayer with Apostle Adrian and a word from the Lord from Prophet Benjamin. And I can hear your struggle, whatever the enemy has brought against you, attacking in your body right now. I bind it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to ask Chloe and Candace if they would pray for you right now. Chloe, I've opened your mic. How are you, my dear?
I'm getting there. Gooder. God is good.
My daughter is being attacked in her body. I know you could hear it all through her message. Would you pray for her right now for her healing?
Yes, I will. Well, Lord, we come to you because you're the one to come to. You're the good shepherd. You're the healer, Messiah. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you've got the key for healing. And I curse every root of affliction right now, every thing that's trying to destroy. I say in the name of Jesus, you be gone. I speak peace from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet and every vital organ and every part of her body, every part of emotions. And the onslaught of the enemy has to be stopped now because the blood of Jesus is against it. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Be healed, daughter. Be healed, daughter, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, but the inner healing also. Inner healing. For the King has arrived and never will leave the scene because he's always with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. I agree. I thank God and thank you, Chloe. That's my friend in Florida. I'm going to get there any minute.
Amen, God. Amen. Come on.
Thanks for listening. So, Shawnee, I just want you to be encouraged. Just like Prophet Benjamin said, that this broadcast for you was just for you, do solo and minister from your heart whatever word God has given you. And certainly the children of Israel really did, for lack of a better word, upset God when they were in the wilderness. All that he did for them and brought them through. Sometimes I have to look back over my life and think it over and remember all that God has done for me. I dare not betray him or compromise waiting on the Lord. And that's what they did. They betrayed God and they compromised their values, their morality, everything that God had demonstrated on the way. They compromised and really upset God and also betrayed Moses. So we know the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, and I think there's more wildernesses that we go through in life and with our walk with God, because the scripture also tells us to pick up our cross and follow him. Can you identify what your cross is tonight? When you have no financial problems, you're in great health, and you're relaxing and sitting back, what cross do you have? This is a lifetime walk with Jesus. And he says, pick up your cross and follow him. The life that I now live, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, hallelujah, but Christ that lives in me, hallelujah. So we give him all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. We don't want to be in the wilderness in sin like they were. We have wilderness, valleys, mountains, mountaintops, plateaus that we go through in life. But Jesus could not carry his cross alone. Amen? Someone had to help him, a man, a person, someone handpicked by Almighty God before the foundation of the world was assigned to help Jesus to carry his cross. Who do you think is assigned to help you to carry your cross? Jesus Christ himself. And also your true friends that believe in your assignment. Take that to heart. Your true friends that believe in your assignment. No matter how rough or tough it gets, we should always have true friends, maybe one, maybe two. Two, if you're really blessed, to believe in your assignment, to comfort you, to be a listener, to be a biblical advisor that can speak back into your life and remind you that God is on your side when you feel like nobody's there. Hallelujah. So we bless God tonight. We honor him. We thank him for what he's doing in Shawnee's life. I plead the precious blood of Jesus over you, Shawnee, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I bind the attack on your lungs, your vocal cords, and your body. I come in agreement with Chloe, prayer for you. And all those that are listening now and will listen on demand at some other time. We pray just for you, Shawnee, that God will truly bless you, that you will see yourself as God sees you, that you won't miss any open doors, that you will grow through them, go through them as you grow up in Christ. That the anointing on your life would destroy every yoke in your own life, those in your household and your family. In the name of Jesus, that you will lay hands on yourself and speak to your own body. Cause it to line up with the will of God for your life, because the Bible says no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Right, Renee? Hallelujah. Right, Candace? So we come in agreement for true health, for full health, for wholeness, In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, Lord God. Your word upon her life, that she has victory over every enemy, every adversary. Every enemy is under her feet. So, Father, we speak the will of God for her life. And, Lord, we thank you for the holy angels that are encamped around her, River Xavier, her husband, and her household right now. I bind every weapon formed against you, and I speak the shalom peace of God that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. That you would pull on God even harder, hold on to him even tighter, walk in his word even better, because that's your friend. You can trust him. All through his scriptures, God tells us to trust him, not people. So, Father, we thank you as we close this broadcast tonight. We give you all the praise, honor, and all the glory goes to you. Lift up your name. I believe, I feel that Shawnee did a great presentation in lifting you up, Lord, in Jesus' name. Is there anything else you'd like to share or say, Shawnee?
No, I'm good. Praise God.
Okay.
I thank you, Jesus. He gives all the glory. And I'm just sitting here just in peace, you know, taking all of it in, because he's still dealing with me right now.
Okay, praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So God bless you. You're listening to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. And we give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. You can go on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry and listen to this broadcast and many other broadcasts, anointed words from God's chosen vessels on demand at the website I just mentioned. I'm Evangelist Linda Caceres saying, only what you do for Christ will last. If you think about just that before what you do, and think about, is what I'm about to do going to honor God? Is he going to find that this is right in his sight, or will he say this is evil in my sight? Only what you do for Christ will last. God bless you. God bless you, Shawnee. Thank you for listening, all those that have tuned in tonight, called in, and streamed in. We love you. Good night, and have God dreams.